The following is a product of the Uprising High School Ministry at the Grove.
All right, I'm going to have Tommy, and we're just going to kind of end this with a couple with the leaders coming up. So I'm going to have Tommy and Maddie come on up. It's like you read my mind. That was awesome. So let me just preface this with what we're about to talk about is an incident that happened Sunday night that probably none of you are aware of, and if you are, then you're privileged. But it's something that happened during the Sunday night session. So I just want to take a moment and pray before we talk about this and talk about how this situation and God, just thank you so much for just the students that have shared, God, and I know that there's so many more that could. God, I pray that you would continue to encourage all these students, continue to share, and that they don't have to be at a church to share how freaking ridiculously awesome you were this past weekend in their lives. So I just pray that you continue to give them the strength and the words to share daily with everyone they come across. God, I pray for this moment right now. Just pray that you'd be with Maddie and Tommy as they just kind of speak and just talk about just this experience that happened. God, give them strength. Calm their nerves. God, just ask that your presence would be here. God, just ask that your Holy Spirit would be here right now. And just, God, that you just would protect us and just fill this room with angels just to defeat the enemy that might be trying to come after us right now. It's in Jesus' name we ask for this. Amen. All right, so Maddie,
yeah.
Matt, you kind of prepared just some verses and just to kind of help explain
your
mindset going into the weekend.
Yeah, so I just kind of wanted to set up, because what Tommy and I are going to talk about is something a lot of you guys, probably none of you guys really know what happened. And it was a big deal. and I think I could probably speak for the good. And I think I could probably speak for Tommy as well, as I just want to set this up for you guys. Going into the weekend, first night, Brian is talking about Exodus 14 and talking about how the Lord will fight for you. And going up there, Brian talked about how God is a God who measures the universe with his two fingers like this. And that was something that kind of struck me. Just because I think that I, going up there in my entire life, I've shrunken God. Instead of me seeing God going like this to me, I've done this to God and kind of put him into a small perspective that I could understand and kind of put him in my pocket. Another thing that kind of I was doing, and maybe Tommy, you can agree with this as well. There's a verse in Matthew. It's Matthew 17:20 that says, "He replied, because you have little faith, truly I tell you, if you have faith as small as a mustard seed, you can say to this mountain, move from here to there, and it will move. Nothing will be impossible for you." And when I heard that verse, however long ago I heard it, I kind of put faith as big as a mustard seed as my maximum. Because if I had faith as big as a mustard seed, I could move a mountain, right? Why would I need any more than that? I mean, that's quite enough. So my faith was small, and the God that was in my brain was small. I had shrunk him. And then Brian was talking on the first night of Exodus 14, and he was talking about trial, and he said, trial either draws you to Jesus or pushes you away. And I wanted to take that a step further and say that other people's trials do the same thing. So a lot of atheists or people in our generation, they look at the world and look at all the terrible things that are happening in it, and they say, how can God be real? How can he let that sort of thing happen? And that's an example of somebody else's trial pushing others away from God. So this was a trial that was not Tommy or I's trial, but this trial that happened in this boy's life was something that pushed Tommy and I closer to Jesus instead of pulling us apart from him. And so I just wanted to start it with that. And I think you can agree with that. Yeah. He didn't know I was going to say any of that. So
I'm going to have you kind of give your description of what you saw. But basically what happened is we're sitting in this session Sunday night, and I notice I'm up in the very front, and I get a text from Jill that just says, hey, Tommy's, like, distraught. Like, he just witnessed something, and it's got him shook up pretty bad. And I'm like, some kid just died outside. Like, that's not what happened, but that's where my mind went. I'm like, some of you are like, what, somebody died when we didn't even know? I'm like, some kid just died. And I'm like, well, I mean, I guess there's people taking care of it, you know, whatever. Like, I look up at Tommy, and he's just, like, you know, collapsing at the top. And he come back in, and it was at that moment that, Maddie, you went out.
Yeah. I don't know. I can't remember who got me. Was it Jill? Yeah, Jill. Yeah. Jill got me.
So you walked out just from your, because you're paramedic.
Paramedic.
So you got like the medical whole background and stuff. Just give everyone just what you were seeing.
Yeah. So Jill had tapped me on the shoulder. I was involved in the game that they were doing and paying attention. And Jill said, they're having a medical emergency outside. They need you. So Elaine, who was our nurse who was up there, she and I had an agreement that if there was anything that was outside of her scope of practice, she would come get me. And so my brain immediately went into, like, medic mode, like, okay, you know, paying attention. I get up to the lobby. There's a pastor up there, and he goes, are you Maddie? Or are you the paramedic? And I'm like, yeah, that's me. And he's like, okay, he's out here. And I'm like, okay. So we go outside, and on the bench is this boy. But that was not what I was noticing. I noticed that there was blood pretty much everywhere. And it was pouring out of this kid's nose, out of his face. And they were telling me that this boy had had a seizure. And so at this point, you know, I'm trying to get on gloves. And I'm trying to, you know, have a clear head about what's happening. And there's a lot of people around and everything. And so I take my left hand and I grab some, you know, paper towels that were around. I'm trying to help this kid stop the flow of bleeding and talk to him. And I asked him his name. I'm just not going to say his name because I don't think.
Don't say the boy's name.
Okay. I asked him his name and everything. And I asked him if he remembered what happened. And he said, I was getting hit in the face. I kept repeatedly getting hit in the face. And I was like, oh, okay, which didn't really make sense to what everyone else was saying. And sometimes when people have seizures, they have a confused idea of what's happening. So I said, well, I'm going to lay you down, just because he started to tense up again. I thought he was going to have another seizure. And so I said, all right, well, I'm going to lay you down now. And he grabbed me really hard, and he said, don't lay me down. Don't do it. And I was like, okay, well, what happens when you lay down? He goes, when this has happened before, when I lay down, I come up swinging. And I was like, okay, like, you get rage after a seizure, because that's actually something that's common. People who don't know where they are, they just start fighting whoever's around them. And he said, no, it's more than that. And I said, okay, well, what do you mean it's more than that? And that's when he started kind of chanting in Latin, saying things that in another language I didn't understand.
And his voice was different.
Not at that time, no. Okay. He was just saying things in Latin. And the crazy thing about God is, like, he doesn't care who you are. He can use you. And in this sense, I don't really remember deciding to make this decision. I really just think that God told me to do it. And so I said to the boy, I'm going to pray over you. Is that okay? And he didn't say anything. And so I put my hand on top of his head, and I started praying. And I said, you know, in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ, I bind and rebuke whoever is in this boy, and I send you back to the pits of hell. And when I said Jesus Christ's name, the boy kind of lunged, and pretty much every pastor that was anywhere close got on top of him. And at that time, a second voice came out of the boy and said, let him go. And that was when I kind of was like, holy crap. And so I had a moment of like, oh my gosh, that is not the boy's voice. What is happening? This is like Exorcist of Emily Rose stuff. And I can't believe I'm standing here in the middle of this. And so I looked up and locked eyes with a pastor who was across the way from me helping me hold this boy. And he kind of, we kind of like tag teamed each other in. And he came in and started praying a prayer of rebuke as well to cast out this demon that was in this boy. And there was pastors on the boy. There was pastors on top of me. There was a group of pastors over in the corner praying. And Tommy was over there and all just kind of praying. And as this boy is fighting us and we're praying and we're using, you know, the power and authority of Jesus Christ, all of a sudden the boy relaxed. And instant peace. And I asked him his name and he said what his name was. And I said, do you feel like that thing is in you anymore? And he said, no, he's standing over there and he's pissed. And I'm like, oh, he should be pissed. and there wasn't even really a moment of fear except for, you know, the initial creepy voice that kind of shook me for a second. But after that, there was no fear because everyone who was around, all the pastors and everything, like, we have a greater fear of Christ. Christ is the only one we should fear. And when we have him, there's nothing to fear. So those who were around the boy, there was no fear. Our fear was just for him, for his safety and for his spirituality.
Tommy, you have a non-medical perspective. I mean, you've survived cancer and all that. But
yeah,
as far as like being able to know what a seizure is and stuff, you know, you don't know what that is. So
no,
just from your perspective, describe the moment and how you felt in the moment.
So I witnessed it, and they were yelling. They said, get Maddie. And I walked up on it, and I was like, all right, I got to get Maddie. I got to be that. I'm a muscular guy. I can go get Maddie. That's my one task I got to do. Got Maddie, and I came back. And this all goes down. I noticed the blood, too. Like, I've bled because, you know, I had cancer and, you know, but it was a lot of blood. And I was like, he's going to be okay, you know. We're at a winter camp. What the heck? God's here. Like, the kid's going to be fine. And then all this is going on. And what's really weird is I wasn't scared. I just was so peaceful. And before thinking, I didn't even think about it. Like, I don't even, like, looking back at it now, it's like I don't understand how it happened. I just grabbed the two guys by me, and I was just like, we need to pray. I was like, we're praying. Like, and we were just praying and praying and praying, and, you know, you could hear it. I saw it, but it's, like, so peaceful. And it was, you know, the only answer that I can, you know, even fathom is God's real. God's here, and God took control and kicked the crap out of it. And after, like, I was macho man and doing all right, it was like, he was calm, and I was like, my job's done. Time to go inside. I'm okay. I walked through the doors and was like, kind of debriefing in my head, like, what just happened? And it was like, holy cow. I grabbed Jill and was like, she's like, what? Like, what's going on? And I'm like, I don't know. Like, I hugged her, and she, like, took me outside and just started bawling, and, you know, I spoke with her, and she helped me out a lot, and, like, thank God. I probably would have had a heart attack. Like, you know, God was with us. And I came from the background of, like, I had cancer, and that was always my struggle. And I always thought, like Maddie said, if there's God and he's so good, why does bad things happen to good people? I was diagnosed at 11. Like, what did I do? I was 11 years old. And it always kind of put, like, that little bit of doubt. Like, when times get rough, who do we blame first? The person that we shouldn't blame. And now it's like, it's opened my eyes so more, and I've honestly wouldn't have changed it for anything, because I make sure I'm reading my Bible. I think Brandon's known me since high school, and he told me, he's like, I've never seen you like this, and I love it. And it's just so, like I just got, like, the biggest sense of warmth under me, and I was kind of nervous back there, because it's like, it's so real that it's like, it's not kind of funny to joke about. And to me, like, you know, those movies that Hollywood makes it seem like a joke, which in actuality, it's like, it exists. But the one thing that we can hang on to is God's way bigger, 1,000 times stronger, And he'll literally drop kick him in the face, and he'll keep us warm at night. And I don't know. And you can ask, like, I ended up switching beds with Brandon on a Sunday night. I slept with the senior guys, and I wanted to be by Jared because
you didn't feel safe with the freshmen.
Yeah, I didn't feel safe with the freshmen. You know, they're a little out there. No, I just Jared's been like a dad to me. You know, kind of like growing up through high school and growing up through youth. And I was like, I need to be by Jared. And I was like, yeah, I was this close to snuggling with him in the middle of the night, to be honest, but leave that out of there. But I just remember like looking at it now, it's like, why was I scared? Because I have God in my life and God's so much bigger. But I think we all have that source of fear. And of course, I'm a tough guy, I thought, but it had me weeping. And you can ask my sophomore and the freshman guys, like, they're like, something's wrong, you know? And I don't know. It's just crazy that it happened, but it's awesome at the same time because I know my faith is 10,000 more times stronger. And I'm sure I could say the same for Maddie's and Elaine. Elaine, the nurse. Like, Yeah, no, I don't know.
That's it. You don't need to say anything else.
Like, God's good, and he's with us, so.
Amen, man. All right. Yeah.
So Tommy got to go in and chill with Jill and got what he needed. I had to take the boy to the infirmary. I had to deal with the EMTs and the paramedics and his parents and everything like that. And when I came back, I had missed the entire service. So whatever was said on Sunday night, I need some notes or something because I missed all of it. But I walked in, and I remember I walked in the room, and I just felt immediately just drained, just like I had no energy. And I kind of looked across the hall, and there was a woman standing there from a church. Had no clue who she was. Still don't know who she was. But I know that she had been outside when all of that was happening. And I kind of prayed, and I was just like, God, you know, you're so big. You are so big that you can take care of that situation. But can you also be big enough to give me what I need right now? And that kind of felt like a selfish prayer. But, like, through everything, you know, we needed comfort and support. And this woman, who I have no clue who she is, walked across the thing to me and walked up to me and just said, can I please hug you and hold you and pray for you? And I was just like, yeah, like, you can. And so, you know, she prayed the most perfect prayer, and it was exactly what I needed. So not only is God beyond what I thought I could put in my pocket, but he's this huge, massive God who was willing to take time to comfort one of his children, and not one who was in the middle of the trial, but one who was just affected by it. And that was something that was just so, yeah, and Tommy too, and anyone who was involved, you know, we got the support that we needed, and that was just awesome.
Sweet. Thanks, guys, for sharing. I just want to, we've been going through this series called Just Do It, and it's a study through James. It's talking about living out your faith. And it just so happens that this week we are in chapter 2, and in this chapter, in this section where James is basically writing to people, basically saying, you know, like, just believing isn't enough. Like, you have to, like just knowing there's a God, like, that's not enough. You have to live it out. You have to live in response to what he calls us to do, and that is surrender our life to him and live change and desire what he wants, not what we want, and to love him and to love every single person on this planet and to share, you know, that good news that he's given us, that he's died for us so that we may live forever. And then to live that out every single day. And in James 2:19, it says, you believe that there's one God. Good. Even the demons believe that and shudder. This is the closest experience I've ever been to that any of you who are at camp, I'm sure, have ever been to, and without even realizing it, to someone being demon-possessed. And it seems like this crazy thing, this thing that just happened only in Jesus' day, and it just doesn't happen anymore. But the reality of it is it does. And so when we talk about having faith and living that out, and that's what makes us different than a demon. And a demon is just a fallen angel who basically is one of Satan's, soldiers. And their job is just to just attack us and make us hate life and push us away from God. But that even a demon shudders at the name of God. And basically why they shudder and why that they, when they hear, like, it's and why just believing in God isn't enough, and why the demon shudders, because when it's all said and done, whenever that day might come, they know that they don't have hope. They know that God is way more powerful than them and that they have to submit to God's authority. And they will, and they always will. And that in that final day, what awaits them is eternity in hell. And they know that, and they believe it. Like, demons know Scripture inside and out, and they know it as truth, and they believe it. Yet they still shudder at the name of God because they know that He is more powerful than them. Just to speak into a little bit why that kid was demon possessed. First, let me just say, if you're a believer in Christ, you've given your life to Christ. Jesus tells us we have His Spirit, His Holy Spirit, and He dwells in us. Like, we are His temple. For so many years, the Jews had this temple. For a while, when they were roaming the desert, it was just like this mobile makeshift temple, you know, and God's presence would rest in that. But after Jesus came, the veil was torn. When He died on the cross, literally the veil in the temple was torn. And that in that moment, when Jesus bought our eternity and He paid the debt for our sins, that veil was torn. And from that moment forward, God's presence resides in those who give their lives to Him. And so for that, you can never be possessed by anything else because you are already possessed by the Spirit of God. And it is His power and His wisdom and words that guide us as believers daily in life. Now, whether or not we, like, listen to Him and, like, live that out daily, like, that's where we struggle a little bit, but we can never be possessed by a demon. And now let me just say this, the demon, you have to invite demons into your life, and that is pursuing dark things, and that is pursuing things of this world and obsessing over them. This kid, they found out over the last year, had been really into fantasy world type stuff and sort of making up, coming up with stories, and he loved to write stories specifically about demons and them basically becoming superhuman and all this stuff. And it was something that he invited in where he was basically worshiping demons. And so for that reason, he had this demon come into him. And when God was showing up at this camp and changing lives, this demon wasn't going to let this kid have that. And this kid didn't really care. He didn't have an issue. And so it's one of those things that it's super scary and it freaked, you know, it freaked a lot of people out. you know, Tommy wanted, like, Tommy was serious. I mean, he switched beds that night and wanted to sleep. I didn't do anything. I just slept. he could have woken me up, I guess. But I only focus in on this verse because I want you guys to know that our God is so huge and so powerful and like so amazing. Wherever you're at in your faith, even if you haven't surrendered your life to Christ yet, just know that God is so huge and so powerful, and He will do whatever it takes to protect us and to change us, not just for eternity right after we die, but now in this life, He fills us with His Spirit. So know that God is huge and massive and so much stronger than any freaky thing out there. And so just be careful what you devote your life to. Be careful what you let become idols in your life. Don't invite that stuff into your life. Invite God into your life. Because when it sucks, when it's difficult, it's amazing how in the craziest, most difficult moments, just talking about God, talking to God and reading Scripture can bring you peace. If you guys have any other questions or anything at all about that. Or if you're freaked out or anything, like, don't be at all. Like, your God is so freaking huge and just so massive and so much stronger. And every single demon will be obedient to his name. And if you ever feel an evil spirit with you, just pray in the name of Christ that that spirit would go away, and you will. I guarantee you, he has to. Because Jesus' name is that powerful. It's the same Jesus, same God that became man and died for us. So if you haven't given your life to Christ, man, I would pray so much that after you hear stories of your peers and how they were changed and how impactful this weekend was, I pray for you that you would surrender your life to God, that you would give your whole life to him, because he first already gave his life to you. And just know in that moment that you'll receive a spirit and you'll be changed from the inside out. You'll begin to desire what he wants. If you want to do that tonight, please do that where you're sitting right now. Surrender your life to him. Give your life to God. It is the coolest, most amazing moment you'll ever have in your life, and it'll change you forever, and you'll experience highs without substance and all the most amazing things that you could possibly experience, joy and peace at their absolute what they are forever. Just give God your sin, confess your sin, and ask him to come. Give your life to him. Where you at? Where you're sitting right now? And I ask that if you do, tell the person next to you. Come talk to a leader. Tell us right now. Like, let's celebrate that. Because it's like the coolest moment ever. For me, I'll share my camp experience, whatever moment right now. That first night at camp, Friday night. Was it Friday? No, it was Saturday night. It wasn't the first night. Saturday night. With cry night, which for me, like, every night was cry night, so I don't know how you decipher that. But that night at camp, he asks people to stand up. The speaker just says, listen, you don't have to stand up. Standing up isn't what saves you. You know, raising your hand isn't what saves you. Coming to the front of the room isn't what saves you. Surrendering your life to Christ and admitting that he is your Lord and Savior and that he is the only way is what saves you and what changes you. And then he asks, and then he goes, and if you want to remember this date, and he said the date, if you want to remember this date forever, stand up and, like, make it memorable. And let us celebrate that with you. And as people stood up, if you want to stand up, I guess go ahead and stand up. But as people stood up, what he said was a reminder, but it was as if I heard it for the first time ever. He said, what we're witnessing right now is the biggest miracle that we will ever witness as believers. It is the biggest miracle that we will ever see. It is someone who is dead, literally dead in their sin. They will be dead forever. They're going to be in hell for eternity. And in that moment, in that instance, they become saved and come to life. And it's this, like, most amazing miracle. And anybody who's given their life to Christ will tell you that in that moment, you're instantly changed. And it brought me back to when my friend tricked me into going to winter camp. And I gave my life to Christ. And I was changed instantly. And how somehow after that, throughout my whole faith, I didn't believe that miracles happened anymore. Yet, the greatest miracle possible happened to me, inside me, in that moment. So anybody who's given their life to Christ, know that you've witnessed a miracle, that you've experienced a miracle firsthand, that you've been changed from the inside out. In a moment, you went from desiring whatever stupid things this world says to desire to what God desires, which doesn't even make sense. It doesn't make sense that we would want what God wants. It just doesn't, because we're born sinful. We're all sinners. We all suck. We're messed up. But he changes us in a miraculous way through his love and forgiveness and his act on the cross anyways. So your God is so powerful and so huge. And just don't forget that. And don't forget how real the spiritual side of this world is, as much as it is physical. Let me pray. And again, if you guys need to talk to a leader or whatever, find a leader. If you have more questions or whatever, you know, find us. And if you've given your life to God, you know, let's celebrate that. God, we thank you so much that we could even just have a conversation with you. There's no reason at all that we should be able to sit here and just talk with you right now, God. And you make yourself available. You don't just make yourself available, God, but you sought us out and chose us. God, we all pray for that boy who's opened his life up to some pretty dark stuff, God. Pray for him and his family. God, pray for his youth pastor and church, God, that you would just kick that demon as far away as possible and protect that boy, God. Open up his eyes, God. Open up his heart. God, I pray for his parents and pastor and leaders and just friends and everybody in his life, God, that they would just be a light to him and that they would point him to you. God, for all of us in this room who maybe might be freaked out tonight while we're sleeping or worried, God, I pray that just in that moment you'd give us peace. And you'd remind us how freaking powerful you are and how strong you are and how just all we have to do is just pray and in your son's name, in Jesus' name, God, and our prayers will be answered, Lord. God, we thank you so much for loving us no matter what. It's in your son's name we pray. Amen.